Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed the grasshopper in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was the latter growth after the king's motives. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great heat, and did eat up a heart. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, once again, we have a very difficult prophecy, a very hard chapter, a hard word to hear. And were it not for the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would be, by this passage, once again shut up to despair. When we see certain things being said and certain things being done here, and we recognize in ourselves the mirrors of those kinds of things, those same kinds of things, well, certainly then this would be a very hard thing for us to hear, except we understand the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. All right, so in the first vision, then, grasshoppers. And what are the grasshoppers sent to do in this vision? Well, they are set up to eat up all the new growth. All of that growth that comes up after that first cutting, they are set up to eat all of that latter growth. And so what is that? Well, that is utter desolation. That is the time when they look for the harvest and not finding it. If it was all eaten by the grasshoppers, that meant that they would starve them out. And so what does Amos do? Amos says to the Lord, Lord, he seeks thee. Please don't do this thing. And it says that the Lord repented of this. Now, when we hear, again, the Lord repenting, let us not ever understand the Lord changing his mind. The Lord is not like a man. He doesn't He doesn't, you know, say one thing and then think, oh, you know what? I got a better idea. There is no better idea. He who sees the end from the beginning and sees all of time as one eternal moment and knows exactly what he will do from the beginning to the end, and from the end to the beginning. So don't think that the Lord actually changes his course. What he changes is the way he had revealed himself to God. And so he may say to someone, I'm going to go this direction. He may never intend to go that direction, but intend instead to elicit a response from his prophet, which is exactly what happens here. And so he reveals to him in a vision that he's going to send grasshoppers or locusts to eat up all the produce of the land. And what does Amos say? Have mercy on Judah. He's small. He's weak. And the Lord says, all right, I will. Then we have a second vision. And the Lord says in the second vision that he's sending fire. Fire. And once again, Amos says, Lord, have mercy on Jacob. He's small, he's weak. This will destroy him. And the Lord says, all right, I'll not go down that road. But then something different happens in the third vision. In the third vision, he doesn't see locusts, he doesn't see fire, he sees a wall. And the Lord standing atop the wall, and the Lord has something in his hand. He has a plumb line. You know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is a great big heavy brass weight with a point, a very sharp point on the end of it, and a little loop on the other end of it, and the weight itself weighs about 3 or 4 or 5 pounds. And on the other end of it is a loop, and so what a carpenter will do is tie a string to the end of that loop, and what he'll do is he'll make a mark on the ceiling, because the ceiling is built, but he doesn't know exactly where the wall is supposed to go. And so he makes a mark where that wall needs to be, at the edge of that wall up there, and he holds that string up there, and he lets that plumb line fall to the bottom, and right where the little sharp point of that plumb line lands on the concrete below, he makes a mark. And so he does that in several places, and he begins to lay out the walls of his building. And then, after he stands up that wall, and before he nails it to the top, he's going to hold that plumb line one more time. And he's not going to nail it off on the top and on the bottom. He's not going to affix it in place until he's got the gap at the top is 1 inch and the gap at the bottom is 1 inch. In other words, that wall is perfectly straight up and down. It is exactly parallel with that plumb line. Whatever the dimension is at the top, it's the same dimension at the bottom. That's what a plumb line is. And the Lord often uses a plumb line in Scripture as a rule of his law. The rule of his law. And so, the Lord says to Amos, I showed you grasshoppers, and you asked me to relent, and I did. I showed you fire, and you asked me to relent, and I did. But now I'm showing you a plumb line. Don't you think for 1 minute that in my relenting, I'm backing away from my standard. I'm not changing the standard. And so in setting the plumb line, what does the Lord say? I will not pass by them anymore. In other words, the next time I come, it won't be a wave. I will come, and it will be for judgment. I'm setting the plumb line. The standard remains. Don't think that because I said I would repent of this course that I told you I would take, that I'm in any way changing my standards. Remember that the law of God is as eternal as God himself. The law of God is founded out of the nature, God's own moral excellence, God's own moral verity. So it will not change, it cannot change, because God does not change. Okay, so that's that first section then. And what does he say? The Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? I set a plumb line. And then the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, and I will not pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. The house of Jeroboam, we're talking about Jeroboam II, the second Jeroboam, that wicked king that followed the first Jeroboam, which set up the false worship, that second Jeroboam that perpetuated that false worship against the standard, against the plumb line of God. All right, so then in the second portion, verses 10 through 17, we have Amaziah the priest, and he sends to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, and he says, there is a conspiracy and Amos is at the head. Let us remember, brothers and sisters, that if and when we speak the truth from God's word, that there will be those that speak against us for doing so. There will be those that minimize. There will be those that make fun. There will be those that say, you know, oh, well, you know, Pastor Todd, he just goes off. Or something like that. And you're probably right. I probably did go off. And so none of you would ever, you know, speak against me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that when, generally speaking, we have a word of truth. We speak from the scriptures. And we speak from the standards of God's law and God's word. And we speak against that, and we speak with that kind of conviction that the Lord spoke of earlier in his plumb line. And we hear the words like, we hear words coming back at us like harsh, like vehemence, like inflexibility, things like that. So Amos speaks the word God. Jeroboam hears from Amaziah the priest that this is a conspiracy, that Amos is fomenting rebellion. Is that true? No. It's not at all true. Amos is not calling for arms to be taken up against Jeroboam in any sense, in any fashion. What Amos is doing is speaking the truth from God's word. And for that, he suffers as a conspirator. But brothers and sisters, I just want you to be clear that sometimes when you speak the truth, you also will suffer under false and exaggerated accusation. That will take place. It took place here, and it will take place on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the last beatitude. Blessed are ye, then shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Remember that? Okay. Alright, so what does the king do then? Well, notice first what Amaziah does. Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away to the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there, but prophesy not any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and the king's court. Now this is very, very interesting. And this is something that we often hear about. Okay, so let's put this in its proper context. Amos, what do you think you're doing? You don't get to walk into the king's house and tell him how the cows can eat the cabbage. That's the king's house. You don't get to walk into his house and tell him he's not doing a good job. That's the king's house. You don't get to walk into his sphere of authority, his home, his crib, his place. You don't get to walk in there and tell him he's doing something wrong. And we often hear that same thing today, don't we? Right? Pastoral visit takes place in someone's home. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard this. Been in someone's home, spoke to them, you don't come into my home, tell me that. Well, if it's the truth, I do. Do we love the truth? I mean, that's the question that's at issue here, isn't it? And so Amaziah says, you don't get to walk into the king's house. You don't get to walk into the king's palace and talk about these kinds of things. That's the king's palace, and that's the king's sanctuary. Notice the king's sanctuary. Nothing. So what is Amos' response to that? What is he telling the prophet to do? He's telling the prophet not to speak the truth anymore. The truth has become an inconvenient difficulty. So don't speak it anymore. What does Amos say? I like Amos' response. He says, you know, The job I had before this, I was gathering sheep and gathering sycamore fruit. I had no intentions of being a prophet. I didn't even go to seminary. I didn't have any designs on any of this. And the Lord came to me and He said, go and prophesy to Israel. And so He kind of leaves that land there and says, so who do you think I should listen to? Should I listen to you, Amaziah, telling me to go south and prophesy there? Or should I hear the Lord who told me to come here and prophesy? And then the word of judgment comes to Amaziah. Now you have to understand who he's speaking to. He's speaking to Amaziah, the high priest. You remember, this was an illegitimate high priesthood here in the northern kingdom. That, you remember the original Jeroboam the first, set up the basis of men to be priests. Okay? But in the south, where the kingdom was true and where the worship was legitimate, there was a very high standard, remember, for the high priest and the wife that he took. You remember that? That there were certain women that were particularly off limits for the high priest. He couldn't marry a certain kind of woman, and one of them obviously was a harlot or one who had been a former. And so when Amos, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, turns to Amaziah and says to him, because thou hast told the prophet of God not to speak, thy wife shall be a harlot in the streets. In other words, you, in occupying that office, will be seen for no priest of God at all. How incongruous is it that a supposed high priest would tell a prophet of God to stop speaking the truth? Therefore, your office and all of its illegitimacy will be fully and finally seen when your wife is a harlot. This is what Amos is telling Amaziah. Of course, the difficulty that we all face, the temptation that we all face here, is that sometimes the word of God, when we hear it, is very uncomfortable. And sometimes we're tempted to say, no more. But not enough. Remember the people at the base of Sinai. God spoke 10 words and they said, that's enough, no more. We don't want any more of the word of God. So the temptation is there for us as well. So the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a part of the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity. Shutting off the word of God. Saying to one another, when we have perhaps a difficult word to one another, that's enough. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You're requiring too much of me. Brothers and sisters, remember what I told you about this book? We want to go everywhere the book says. And nowhere it doesn't. We want to go everywhere. Because in here, this is life. In here, this is health. In here, this is what God would have for His beloved children. And when we say no, then we do so to our own. Right. Thus ends the reading of Amos chapter 7.